You are listening to the Extended News at Noon on WISR. I'm Tyler Friel with you. We are continuing on with our election coverage today, focusing on the State House 8th District. There is a competitive Republican primary, three candidates on the ballot, one including Eric DiTullio, who joins us by telephone. Eric, thanks for taking the time and welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I'll start with the question that we ask all candidates. Exactly why are you running for election?
Well, I've always been a person that said, if you want to complain about government, you better be voting. And if you're voting and still complaining, you better get involved. And that led me to get on to the Seneca Valley School Board 12 years ago, which then as I saw the problems that were happening with, you know, school funding and things like that, it led me to get involved with the teacher's pension program. And then that led me to see that the problems were really at the heart was Harrisburg and the legislature not doing what they need to do over the last decade and a half. So that's really what I said, you know, following the problem to the source, you know, is taking me to Harrisburg. And I think that's where we really need to fix things so that we can have a better Pennsylvania here.
Well, let's start with education then. You talk about that how you have some issues potentially with how public school systems are funded. Exactly what is your view of public school systems in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania?
Well, I think, you know, education is guaranteed by this Commonwealth Constitution. So that's one of the strong things that we need to make sure that we provide to, you know, all the citizens of Pennsylvania is an education in some shape or form. But it has to be a quality education, and we've set up a lot of, you know, rules and regulations around how we do that. We've done a very good job over the years. I think there's a lot of challenges that we've run into. You know, some of the public schools have not, you know, been up to the snuff, so to speak, and we've allowed charter schools and things like that to come in where those, you know, failing schools needed, you know, those folks in those failing schools, I should say, needed another option. We allowed some charter schools to come in. Those were good, but we didn't regulate them like we regulate the rest of the state. So some of those charter schools, you know, they haven't been able to, you know, make the strides that they should have. They're not producing the, you know, the results. There's some that are, but there's a lot that aren't. So I think that needs to have a more level set, you know, instead of just taking that taxpayer money and giving it to these charter schools that have, you know, they're unregulated, so to speak. You know, that needs to be a fair playing surface to make sure that those kids that do go there are taken care of and to make sure that, you know, they can't exclude, you know, special education folks. Those children need to be, you know, serviced as well. And you can't let charter schools, you know, pick and choose who they want to take. If they're going to take students, they have to be able to take and educate those special education students as well. So I think that that needs to be done on a more consistent basis to make sure that we are checking what is done with that taxpayer money going to the charter schools as well, just like we do with the public school funding.
Wanted to talk to about higher education, Butler County, home to Slippery Rock University and Butler County Community College. The PASCHE system is asking for an additional $550 million in funding for this upcoming year. They say that money is needed in order for them to maintain the 14 state system schools. Butler County Community College and the community colleges across state asking for funding as well. How do you view the state system of higher education? Is it continually to be viable? And do you think that this $550 million would be an appropriate amount?
Well, as far as it being an appropriate amount, I'd have to look into the details of the who, what, where, when, and how of all those. There's a lot to be said about that, you know, or how they're going to spend that money. But in general, I think the Pennsylvania higher education system is viable. I think it's required so that we can be a top-rate state. I think that the community colleges need proper funding as well. And to be honest, I think we need to also extend that secondary education to the vocational technical training. I think that we need to make sure that we have those kids that are, you know, not the typical college career path, but the vocational technical training, those kids need that secondary education system as well. I think that's where we need to look at putting additional funding. How we're going to get that funding, what makes sense, and how to best approach it, that's the things I want to look at whenever I get to Harrisburg to say, you know, let's make sure that we are funding secondary education, all secondary education properly.
when, you know, you talk about trade schools, and again, we're here with Eric DiTullio, candidate for the 8th District in the Republican primary for the State House of Representatives. You talk about trade schools. Obviously, a lot of manufacturing industries are looking for employees. Is this a way that you feel could spur growth in terms of filling those jobs? Are there any other policies or initiatives that you would like to see that you think could help continue to spur the workforce in this area?
Well, I think that's one of the biggest ones. I mean, you look at what we have from, you know, our natural resources and oil and gas. You know, we have that ability here. We should be able to use those resources, but in order to do that, we need to have that workforce, you know, that technical vocational workforce to do it. I think that, you know, a lot of the trades have done a great job over the years, you know, especially, you know, right in Butler County, you know, the steam fitters opened up a training center, but we need to do more. That's a whole lost generation of manufacturing that we need to make sure we can get those back. And especially now with, you know, everything else that's going on, whether it's, you know, the new automotive vehicles that we're going to see, you know, are going to be more electric, things like that. We need to make sure that, you know, the younger generation is trained on how to, you know, not only build those, but, you know, maintain those as well down the line. So I think that's going to be a big push. That can make Pennsylvania a more competitive state in the entire nation and in the world, to be honest.
Talk about electric vehicles. Transportation is where I would like to go next. Gas tax revenues are declining as vehicles have higher gas mileage and some move to the electric vehicle. It's brought into question exactly how you could continue to fund the Department of Transportation. Have you any thoughts of essentially what is a more viable way to fund roads and highways in the Commonwealth?
Well, it's interesting. You know, this has been on the news, as you know, over the past few months about, you know, we have, you know, 58-cent gas tax in the Commonwealth, and, you know, the Transportation Revenue Option Commission came out with their recommendations. And to be honest, I'm not a huge fan of anything that they proposed. I think that, you know, when you look at it, you know, the average Pennsylvanian travels 12,000 miles a year, and, you know, the average on a car is about 25 miles per gallon. So you're looking at about $300 a year per driver and gas tax. So if you were to increase tolling, I think that would be, you know, a horrible approach, because that would cause, you know, everyone to pay substantially more than what they're paying now. And I don't like that. You know, the per mile tax, I mean, that just puts a heck of a strain, I think, on, you know, how would we administer getting that. So I'm not a huge fan of that either. And, you know, who's going to, you know, make sure that someone's telling the truth on it? Do we send to inspection stations, or what would that vehicle look like to get that information? I think, you know, when you look at things like, you know, do you charge a higher registration fee for electric vehicles? That might be something that makes more sense. But my biggest concern is when you have those, you know, we're going to be an in and out transportation for the economy. You know, there's going to be trucks and, you know, different folks coming into the state. How do we make sure that they're paying, you know, we're getting some revenue from them using our roads and bridges to get into the cities and towns in Pennsylvania, and when they're leaving and they might be buying their electricity or whatever it is outside of the Commonwealth. We need to make sure that we're capturing that as well. So I'm not sure what the true solution is. And like I said, I just don't like what I've seen from the Transportation Revenue Options Commission yet, but there's got to be a better way. And I think we got to look at that more. And I don't think it's been studied enough. I think it's been pushed to the back burner too much. It's there, but not really there. We need to get some more studies done on that to find out what is the best approach to get that.
We're talking with Eric DiTullio, Republican candidate for the State House 8th District. And you touched a little bit about this, but the Pennsylvania energy industry, a lot of folks, especially in the Republican Party, view this as one of the main initiatives that the state should be taking is energy production. How do you balance developing energy production, but also taking in mind of concerns that some voters have about the environment?
Well, and I can speak from this one personally. I was an industrial estimator for 30 years, so I've been to every steel mill that there is or was in Pennsylvania, and you saw a lot of what was going on there, you know, between the steel industry and the power industry when, you know, we increased the regulations and made, you know, power plants, for instance, put in SCRs for scrubbing you know, the exhaust gases. Same thing that they did with the flue gas desulfurizations. And it caused power plants to spend more money and not get any more production. And it caused a lot of them, you know, basically to not be in business. And so many were shut down. Matter of fact, you know, right, our neighbors, you know, in Allegheny and Beaver and Armstrong County, you know, they've shut down Bruce Mansfield power plant. So it was a coal burning plant, and Cheswick power plant. So we've lost, you know, over, 3,000 megawatts of power generation, and we haven't been able to replace that. You can't do it with windmills. That cost, that'd be over 1,000 windmills or 3,000 acres, and solar panels would take an additional 15,000 acres to replace. We have natural gas, and it's right here in Pennsylvania. It's right here in western Pennsylvania. You, those plants, you know, you could replace everything that was lost for Bruce Mansfield and Cheswick with six natural gas power plants. So that makes sense. Why not do that? Let's take advantage of that natural gas we have here, which is the cleanest of all the fossil fuels. We can use those to, you know, get use Pennsylvania power to generate Pennsylvania electricity that would take over what was lost from those coal plants closing. So I think that's what we have to look at. Let's use that energy that we do have, and not just here in western Pennsylvania, but all throughout the Commonwealth. Natural gas is a viable option. I think that is the way to approach it. And, you know, as technologies get better, maybe wind and solar do become, you know, competitive at the grid and more efficient. But right now, they're just not at that point to be commercially viable and really competitive. So it'll get there eventually, but it's just not there yet. So let's use the natural gas resources that we have here.
Eric Tutulio is a Republican candidate for the State House 8th District. Election laws have obviously also been at the center of debate in Harrisburg. Act 77 was voted for with bipartisan support, but now has now been more contentious in Harrisburg. What changes, if any, would you make to Pennsylvania election laws?
Well, the first thing is, you know, I think, you know, Act 77, and this is where, you know, I'm not a party politician, so I will admit when there's a mistake, and Act 77 was a mistake. It was done for political compromise, and it wasn't done for consensus. You know, there's some things that you can do, you know, for making voting easier, but we have to have it secure. You know, ATMs were put in to make getting cash easier for folks instead of going to the bank, but there was still security around those. We need security in our election system. We need to have faith in the election system, just like you have faith in that, you know, going to the bank and getting money out. We need to basically treat a ballot like we would treat cash. I think that needs to be the top priority, to make sure that everyone understands your ballot is important. Your ballot is valued, just like a dollar is valued. So I think, you know, we have to get that approach and that type of thinking into all our election laws and how we vote, to make sure it is not only secure, but also that everyone has confidence in their voting. So, you know, and the best way I can, the analogy that I'll always use is going to be treat a ballot like you treat a dollar, and that's going to be the best approach to it.
He's Eric Tutulio, Republican candidate for the State House 8th District. Eric, thank you for the time.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me on.
You are listening to WISR. Thanks, Eric.
Thank you very much. If there's anything else you need, just give me a